Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Aristotle had it right, that is, to appreciate the beauty of a snowflake, you have to get outside in the cold. And you have to get involved. You have to kind of get into the environment and to be able to see it as it falls from the sky. Maybe just to extend your hand and to let it fall into your hand, to experience cold in order to take care, to take in the beauty. And so it is with Christmas. We have to be involved. We have to participate. The more that we give of ourselves, we receive more of how God has given himself in Christ Jesus. For after all, this is the season of giving, and the Apostle Paul is the one who gave us this line of Jesus. You don't find it in the Gospels, but you find it in red letters in Paul's epistle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It had hung into the life of the early church that the power of the love of Jesus comes through the participation of doing what he did. He gave himself. So we may have him to live within us, but not just for us, that he may live through us and be into the world. And that's how the Christian movement has expanded from region to region and from era to era. And we are at a precipice in history. We're at a key era of time in which we ourselves must be the very embodiment of the joy of Christ, so that the world may see a joy they don't find, as CMAC called us into worship, they don't find in the 24-hour news cycle or even in the latest purchase that you can get online. All of that will subside, but what is it that remains inside of us? The soul-shaping power of the love of God that doesn't let go, if we will truly let this love flow with a hope and a peace. This third Sunday of Advent, this Christmas season, is characterized by the word joy. Of course, that's natural for us at Trinity, isn't it? We have rejoice built into the very language of expressing who we are. It's a joy that can be connected to the circumstances that we experience, but we know that it's not controlled by the circumstances. Even in the midst of the most difficult moments of life, we may feel the joy coming from a wellspring inside our soul, because that's where the Lord is rooted inside of us. And the joy of his marvelous soil is how Paul put it in the prayer. And so my prayer for you is your pastor, that one, this joy be overflowing within you, and then that you will help to name this joy for your family and for your friends, your coworkers, the volunteer movements of which you are a part, as you extend the Merry Christmas, that it be the joy expression, and that you may be able to show Jesus, the Jesus joy, to troubled lives. In this story of the birth, we find then that joy had come to as a promise that the Messiah would be born. But have you noticed that wherever there are promises, there are also problems? Promises become the pathway by which then we can experience that joy. Now, joy is the good news. It's actually the right news for your life. But for us to receive this joy, we've got to participate in the dream. If the joy is to come true, when Albert and Ann read our scripture, it was a familiar scripture for many of you. And it's a scripture that called out the name Joseph. Now, maybe Francis of Assisi had this Joseph in mind when he penned the words, "Always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words." It was the same Francis of Assisi that gave us our first live nativity scene. He knew that by visually experiencing a manger scene and donkeys and the reenactment of the Christ child being born and shepherds arriving on the scene, it was a festive occasion to express it in the medieval world. And it's a festive expression for our lives today. But Assisi, Francis may have been thinking of Joseph when he penned those words, because we don't have one word of Joseph written in the Gospels. And yet we know Joseph. How do we know him? We know him by how he acted out the messages that he spoke but weren't recorded. We know him because of the character of who he was in a way that reflects the character of who we may become. We see in his steady growth in trusting God with his life how we ourselves may grow by a steady growth in this Jesus joy. And so we take from this passage, this account of Matthew 1, verses 16 through 25, and we have many takeaways, but today we're going to look at three. Claim. That you may claim your place in God's big purposes to overcome the problems, because again, we must see that God's promises are your pathway through the problems. Claim. Not just simply claiming, well, that gift's mine and that one's not yours, that's mine. But the kind of claiming that is a way of extending open arms where everyone knows that they have a place not only at the Christmas tree, but they have it at the tree at Calvary called the cross. That there is a way of claiming that we have a part to play, but the problems can be so overwhelming, as Debbie expressed in the children's sermon, that we just kind of go wacko all around. And so we can learn from Joseph. The angel spoke to him in a dream. It's a remarkable dream. There are three recorded dreams that Joseph had. It tells us a lot about Joseph, this man whose recorded words are not recorded. But that he would have dreams and paid attention to them, and God knew that he could reveal his message to Joseph in dream, meant that he had a sensitive soul, tough in character, but a tender heart. He had a sensitive soul. He was open to receive the message of God. And so the angel spoke to him, Joseph, son of David, remember who you are. Joseph, son of David. That's why we have all of this kind of begatting at the opening of the Gospel of Matthew, the opening of the New Testament, about the lineage of Abraham and David and the exile, and then the listing of many of the names that go from 14 generations to 14 generations to 14 generations. Have you gone to ancestry.com? You know your DNA history. And so this is laid out. But it's laid out in a way of telling a faith DNA. It's a way of laying out and saying, there is the promise of God that has been at work through the ages. And now, Joseph, the carpenter of Nazareth, you have your role to play. It is your time in history. And have I ever got a mission for you? It's bigger than you, Joseph. It's scary big. But it has to be that big in order for my message of love and the redemptive power of grace to conquer sin and hope to whip on despair and an empty grave will answer death on the cross. It's got to be so big. It's got to happen so uniquely that it will grab people's attention, not only that they will talk about it in Nazareth and Galilee and Jerusalem and Judea, but they're going to talk about it all across the Roman Empire. And one day, the day of darkness in the December the 25th of the Roman Empire, it will be recalled Christmas Day. It will be known as a day in the year of 2019 in a village called San Antonio, Texas, Joseph. It's got to be done uniquely. And this is where you come in. You're going to be affirmed as the legal father of the Messiah. You're going to be affirmed as the one who will raise him as a father on earth. But this dream is so big, it's going to stretch the imagination that I've created a conception of the Messiah and this woman that you've been married to, but you haven't yet had your honeymoon night. And I want you to trust. I want you to trust me, even though you don't understand. See, it's one thing to claim a place. We know if we pull out our number and our number says, you have a right to be here, but we're claiming, Joseph was calling out to claim a place because his number got called and he didn't really know if he wanted to be in that line. And yet, Joseph, son of David, meant that those who had gone before him had also been called out to do the unique for God and always to see how God came true. And how about you? Or he's claiming your name in this season to uniquely show the Jesus from the circumstances of your life, because your life circumstances are the manger scene. You know that? That's where people are coming to see you. They're coming to see you through your circumstances. We can go to Bethlehem today, and we can go into the church and the nativity and go under the ground into a cave area where Christ was most surely born. But where he's really born is in our lives, and people see your circumstances. They know you, these people who know you, and they want to know if Jesus is real for you in your manger scene of the Lord. So claim your place. Don't talk yourself out of it. Claim it. Then take a joy pause. Take a joy pause to figure out how to do the right thing. Play your part. Ron Heifetz co-wrote a book with Marty Linsky called Leadership on the Line, and How Do You Give Leadership in a Changing Age, in which there are no guarantees for organizations or institutions for a long-term future. It's all being reshaped. And how do we give leadership on this line? And he gives a surprising word in the book. He said, don't just do something, stand there. And then do something. But by standing there, take in what's happening, pay attention. And then you may see a pattern to emerge, and it will begin to make enough sense to you that you can know what your right action should be. And Joseph was enacting that truth 2,000 years ago, the same truth we need in our lives today. Take a joy pause. Because Mary, my read of the story is that Mary had the Annunciation given to her at the well in Nazareth. Mary let it sit in her for a while, and she went to Joseph, this man that wasn't just an arranged marriage. They loved each other. And she told him, and you know what he said. So she left. She went south. She went to be with the relatives, Elizabeth and Zechariah. But when he was planning how to do the right thing about divorcing her quietly, not wanting to hurt her, that's a person of character. God called him out and said, now, your night's sleep is not just to rest your body, not just to give your troubled soul an escape from your pressures, but I've got a message for you. It's a joy pause. So in verse 21, it said that she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And of course, that's what would get Jesus 33 later nailed on the cross. Who are his people? Well, they're everybody. I mean, everybody. And see, Joseph had to be the kind of person who wanted there to be an everybody who could be loved by God. And so to name him Jesus is that his Jesus, the Greek word of the Hebrew name of Joshua that God saves, and all of my friends who go by Jesus, I tell them, you got the best name you could have, you know. This morning, I was in early orientation over at Tri Point and said, okay, Joshua and Jesus, y'all know how your names are connected to each other? The same name, different accents from the scriptures. So this joy pause was going to revealing for Joseph that God had a joy to give, and he indeed was to name the child that Mary was carrying. Now, my hunch is that Joseph got word that a little village outside of Jerusalem down south where Mary had gone, and God gave her a word there by the same angel, Gabriel, to say, oh, God has spoken to me a dream, and I so much want to be your husband. I so much want to be a part of what God is doing through our love of each other. I so much want to be a part to play just my small role in the midst of God's big promise. And it looks like a big problem right now. But you know how it is when today in our world we can be flying at 30,000 feet in the air and we look out that airplane window and everything has just been right-sized. We see it more clearly for what it really is. The problems of our lives get right-sized when we take that joy pause. And then we say, that's where I belong, in the middle of God's purposes. So thirdly, after we have kind of claimed our place and we've taken the joy pause to figure out what God has for us to do, then we are to walk in God's plan. At least as much of his plan as we know how to walk into. And he will show us along the way what we need to know, when we need to know it, because his name is Emmanuel, that God is with us. Don't hold back from where God is taking you. Go ahead and feel the joy. Well, what a season. I mean, Tuesday morning we were right here and we had Parents' Day out, Christmas pageant. It was wild and crazy and fun. As Mr. Mel told Pastor Debbie, said after every rehearsal getting ready for the Christmas pageant, he said it's like we're doing it for the first time. You know, you got your six-month-olds and your four-year-olds. I mean, it's just kind of, it was wild and fun and filled with the reason for the season. And then yesterday's Winter Wonderland and parties and invitations. And then we had that unique kind of faith celebration, a funeral service in the chapel yesterday afternoon. A courageous 35-year-old man by the name of Brett Lee Harris had passed away. 10 years earlier, been diagnosed with leukemia, worked his way through that, and then another form just kind of struck him. And you wouldn't think that would be a Christmas celebration, would you? Except, you know, they're nowhere on the pages of the birth narrative of Jesus that it's all about just a happy time. I mean, that's what we read into it. It's called a conclusion bias. We want that to be the case, so we read that bias into the story, but it's just not there. Joy is in the midst of all of it, but it is also seasoned with all kinds of, well, life, heartache. I mean, and there we were in the chapel, and the dad, Justin, who grew up in our church, and his wife, Marty, helped to take care of my parents in the last years of their life. And Justin, the dad, wrote a letter 2 weeks after his son's death. A beautiful letter. It was a powerful letter. What Justin told his folks at MD Anderson, knowing that death wasn't far away, he said, "I love Christmas. And my faith is strong and I'm good. Good with God." And so Brett the dad wrote this. Brett, this is Dad. See, he's using his imagination, but you know, God is God and God can get these messages out in God's way. I really feel like my folks are with me every day. You know, after the first couple of days of crying for their passing, I haven't cried a tear since then. Now, if you do, that's fine. I get it. I understand. I'm right there with you. I'm just telling you in my story, there's a way that this resurrection works is with us. Brett, this is Dad. It's just been over 2 weeks since your mother and I said goodbye to you. The chaplain was right along his side just before he passed away, and the chaplain prayed and said, "Lord, if this is the time to take him, he goes in peace." And in that very moment, the screen went flat. And he had left this earth. I'm so sorry that you had to go through all the pain and hardships and dealing with your disease. I love and miss you so much. But your passing has left this huge hole in my heart. And he begins then to tell the story about joyful memories. You know, Brett, your humor touched me We had a passion for the mysteries of the universe. We could talk about black holes and the cosmology and the wonders of God's great mystery and understand quantum physics. And then he said, you know, you and I decided that the God just kind of snapped his finger and the Big Bang happened and the whole creation unfolded. And resurrection has that kind of boom. God does what only God can do. And in the birth of Jesus, God did what only God can do, but did he ever do it? Stretching our imagination, requiring us to stretch beyond our reason left to itself, leaves us empty. But if we take our reason as far as it will go and we take that next step, we have found in the leap of faith that we're right in the purpose of God. And to see clearly what God is showing, that God is with us in the birth of his child. A friend of mine texted me this morning and said, hey, I just had a cataract surgery. I want you to know it went well, and I can see better than ever before. Lens put in my eyes, all the blurriness is gone. He said, you know, it's kind of like my faith. I just see a lot clearer now at this stage of my life than I could earlier in my life. Glad for what he'd learned along life's way. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Well, the amazing part is that when Joseph woke up from his dream, he didn't talk himself out of it. He didn't get back to his anger. He didn't get back to his hurt, his disappointment. Life hadn't been fair, and this wasn't going as he had hoped for it to go. He didn't go there. He didn't even say it was indigestion of having too much of. He did what the Lord commanded. And that's where we find our real joy. He did what the Lord commanded. That's true for you, me, us. You know, in this good news story of Jesus, it is equally available for everyone. All of us. What we have to do is the Lord commanded. We have to participate. We have to put our skin in the game to see the skin that was in the game that arrived in Bethlehem. Oh, and then for people to see that through your skin when you enact the joy of Jesus for them, they say, I get it. I believe it. That God touches their heart. We're about to sing a beautiful hymn of faith called Around Hope. Where hope will reveal is what God is doing. We experience the peace as we connect with our hope. And God creates the feeling of joy. We don't wait for the circumstances to get just within our little comfort zone. But we stretch ourselves into God's comfort zone. And then we feel his joy. And then God is good because then his joy becomes our joy. And that's the joy that doesn't go away. Now, for you right now, if you've been deciding to say, Jesus, one day I'm going to say yes to you. I just heard from the Lord. He said, today's that day. Today's that day. To join in the life of this family movement as we all serve this risen Lord, today is the day to say yes. It comes membership. You wonder, how do you become a member of Trinity? Well, it's just real easy. You commit your life to Christ. You commit to grow in Christ, to grow out the promises of love and friendship and ministry. And we share in life together. You just, boom, you come and say, this is what I want. Right here, right now. You pray. Next to the beauty of where the Brumley Chorale had sung, where the poinsettias are, they can become like an altar to pray. For joy in our world, maybe you want to hold somebody's hand that you sing with and let God speak to you together. I don't know, but God does. Right now.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.